The largest mafia trial in three decades is currently underway in Italy, with hundreds of defendants, lawyers and witnesses called to give evidence. The trial has refocused attention on the criminal group's international links, including back here in Australia. Victoria Pengilly has the backstory. Good morning, Victoria.
Hi again, Cathy. Look, I need to preface this by, first of all, apologising to my executive producer, Marina, who is Italian. She's about to hear a few dodgy Italian name pronunciations. So I don't know about you, but when I think of the mafia, I think of black and white gangster films and shootouts. Now, some of that is true, but the mafia is very much alive and kicking here in Australia. So let's head back to the very beginning. Where did it all start? Well, the 'Ndrangheta is considered the world's most powerful mafia branch. And the origins of this secret society lie on the other side of the world, in the beautiful region of Calabria in southern Italy. Anna Sergei is a researcher at the UK's Essex University. She grew up next door to a mafia boss and now studies mobsters for a living. Here she is speaking with Four Corners a few years ago.
The 'Ndrangheta has built its reputation on violence. It's especially in the 70s, 80s and 90s, so right at the beginning of its empire of drugs. In order to keep the intimidation and to keep the fear and to keep the social control.
The 'Ndrangheta first came to Australia back in 1922, when a ship carrying three key gang members left Calabria and docked in Adelaide. Clive Small is the co-author of The Evil Life, a book about the gang. He's also the former Assistant Commissioner of New South Wales Police. He spoke to ABC Overnights in 2016.
It's believed these bosses came out to assess Australia for its suitability in terms of setting up a mafia among the Calabrian community here in Australia. Now, while I say among the Calabrian community, the numbers of actual mafia figures might have been relatively small, but they targeted their own people.
Now, the group's first local business was in fruit and vegetables, and they quickly became known for extorting farmers and charging market stall holders protection fees. From this, the mafia diversified, moving into drug trafficking, kidnapping, extortion, money laundering, and murder. A Melbourne man named Ian had a pretty extraordinary story to tell ABC Radio a few years ago.
I'm 90, and back in the 50s, I worked in the markets branch of the ESNA Bank down there. There was a very jovial fellow who used to come in to pay money for some of the merchants down there, and shortly after I left, he was convicted. He was the executioner for the mafia down there.
By the 1960s, the Calabrians had a stranglehold over Melbourne's wholesale fruit markets. But it was a series of violent killings dubbed the Market Murders in 1964, which gave Australian police a glimpse into how a criminal underworld had been forming right under their nose.
In 1965, when there were two major inquiries into the Calabrian mafia, one for the Victorian government and one for the federal government, both inquiries found bribery and corruption of law enforcement, the judiciary and politicians was a significant factor. What happened to those reports? They were put in a drawer for decades.
That's mafia expert Clive Small again. Fast forward to 1977, and it's a cold winter's night in the town of Griffith in New South Wales when Liberal Party candidate Donald McKay goes missing. Don McKay had spoken out against cannabis crops growing in the region, telling detectives he knew about the people behind them. Those people are believed to have been the 'Ndrangheta. His body has never been found, but a Royal Commission into Drug Trafficking found that not only had Don McKay likely been murdered, but that there was a high level of police and political infiltration and corruption. The next 30 years saw gangland warfare escalate in Melbourne, and their business model didn't change all too much.
The Victorian opposition leader Matthew Guy is facing scrutiny after attending a dinner where the guest list included a controversial Melbourne businessman with alleged links to gangland activities.
In 2017, Victoria's opposition leader Matthew Guy became embroiled in the very famous lobster with an alleged mobster scandal when he was wined and dined by alleged mafia member Tony Mataferi. Former Immigration Minister Amanda Vanstone also had to defend her decision of granting a visa to his brother, Frank Mataferi, who was later embroiled in a major drug trafficking plot and deported from Australia. Now, there is no suggestion that either acted improperly here. So where does that all bring us today? Well, the Australian Syndicate's estimate revenue is roughly around $80 million. And although scores of members were arrested in a rather large police sting earlier this year, they're still very much in action around the country. Italy's chief mafia prosecutor Nicola Gratteri has been quite critical of Australia's lack of anti-mafia legislation. He told the Nine newspapers this week that the mafia is now present in catering, hotels, restaurants, pizzerias, and even real estate. And they're now branching out to cryptocurrency like Bitcoin, much like many other international business empires, Cathy.
Fascinating backstory. Thanks so much, Victoria.
Thank you.